Are you searching for the for that voice of reason in these troubled times? Do some things just not make sense? We thought so too, and that's exactly how Dave, Richard, and I came together. My name is Kelsey, and the three of us are here to explore and seek the truth, expose corruption, and unravel and untwist media lies and propaganda. We are determined to help navigate through this unparalleled, extraordinary time in history with everyday people emphasizing open-mindedness, free thinking, and a desire to be empowered at the grassroots level, working with what nature has given us and protecting that from those who are exploiting it. Together, with the help of our listeners, we will sow acres of truth. You can visit our website at acresoftruth.com, and here you will find more information on how you can find us in places like YouTube, Rumble, Spotify and Apple Music, Twitter, and so much more. Hello, and welcome to our special edition series, SDGs and What You Need to Know. Together, we will be explaining and discussing the UN Sustainable Development Goals. Our mission is to educate everyday citizens about SDGs, what they are, what they mean, how the laws and policies that are and have been passed can and will affect us, not only here in Canada, but around the world. Additionally, by learning and understanding these 17 goals, we can all become one step closer in helping to affect change in this world from a grassroots perspective. My name is Kelsey from Saskatoon, along with Dave and Richard. We are Acres of Truth. Joining us is our special guest, Mark, who has been talking about the agenda for 20 years now. Welcome, gentlemen.
Greetings, Kelsey. It's Dave from Winnipeg, Ag Specialist.
Greetings, Kelsey. My name is Richard. I'm a farmer from southern Saskatchewan.
Hi, Kelsey, Dave, and Richard. It's Mark here from Saskatoon, director and founder of the Forum for Canadian Sovereignty.
Welcome, gentlemen, and I'm Kelsey. I'm a small business owner in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. The format of this series is for us to read the SDG, discuss the targets, and break it down for everyday people to understand. Let's get started with Sustainable Development Goal number 5. Achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. Gender equality is not only a fundamental human right, but a necessary foundation for a peaceful, prosperous, and sustainable world. There has been progress over the last decades, but the world is not on track to achieve gender equality by 2030. The social and economic fallout from the COVID-19 pandemic has made the situation even bleaker. Progress in many areas, including time spent on unpaid care and domestic work, decision-making regarding sexual and reproductive health, and gender-responsive budgeting is falling behind. Women's health services, already poorly funded, have faced major disruptions. Violence against women remains endemic. And despite women's leadership in responding to COVID-19, they still trail men in securing the decision-making positions they deserve. Commitment and bold action are needed to accelerate progress, including through the promotion of laws, policies, budgets, and institutions that advance gender equality. Greater investment in gender statistics is vital, since less than half of the data required to monitor Goal 5 are currently available. At this time, I'd like to turn the mic over to Mark to begin our discussion.
Yeah, so this one's an interesting one. I think we can all agree that, you know, between the two genders that biology gives us, male and female, that we would encourage equality in that sense. And And I think in large part, most of Western civilization or the First World has achieved a lot of those goals. But of course, this whole gender bending and genderism and transgenderism and you know, 75 different genders and all of this is, of course, the whole thing has been hijacked by the left. And so, but here again, you have an unelected, unaccountable foreign entity creating cookie cutter policy to deal with most of the second and third world that are still obviously struggling with, you know, the two genders having equality. And then this is what this is targeted towards. And of course, you get into reproductive health and eugenics and controlling populations. Again, this leads in and crosses over into a number of different goals as listed in this overall agenda. So, you know, again, it's this cookie cutter policy created to address issues not necessarily in North America or through the Western world, but issues, you know, maybe in the Middle East or in Africa or in Southeast Asia, or, you know, you could even make an argument China and Russia in regards to gender equality between the male and female. But again, you know, this whole thing is been hijacked in terms of, you know, population control, in the sense that if you can confuse children through the school system in regards to their gender and questioning their gender and confused about 75 different genders that they could possibly identify with, you know, then you're creating a population of youngsters that are growing up to most likely not participate in the nuclear family or traditional family values. And that's what this whole thing is all about. It's attacking, you know, traditional family values. And so that's how I'd like to open this discussion. I think it's an interesting discussion because, again, and I want to stress this, that I don't think any of us, you know, in the First World and in Western civilization don't want to see gender equality between male and female. I think that's there's nothing wrong with that, of course. And I think people as people should be treated equally, regardless of their sex, regardless of their race, regardless of any other identifiable aspects of them. So I think, you know, in a large part, we've achieved a lot of this. Doesn't mean we don't have, you know, room to improve. Of course we do. But it's this cookie cutter policy that we're all getting sucked into, this globalist vortex that, you know, in order to change the second and third world, we need to destroy the first world. And again, so it all leads back to this sort of bigger picture. So I'll let...
Yeah, I think you're right on, you know, Mark. And that's what's happening to us in the West and, you know, Canada and, you know, United States. When you actually read the targets and stuff, the, you know, language they use, right? Number one says all and all forms of discrimination against all women and girls everywhere. And as you read the six target goals, they actually use the words women and girls in every one of them, which is kind of interesting that they're not actually recognizing these, you know, 54 genders or however many there is at this current time. But I think the gender ideology, you know, I mean, you're bang on. I mean, it affects us here in the West, right? Because it's about tearing us down because we are, you know, basically somewhat of the leaders of standards, you know, of living and one of some of the richest, you know, the two richest countries on the planet, basically. So it's like, that's where this gender ideology is attack on the West, I kind of think. And, you know, so they're, the goals don't necessarily align with it at this time, but it does with our own countries.
Definitely, I think it is attack on men, particular of Caucasian descent. But we got to remember a little bit on history. Historically, men and women equally have not had it good. They both had to work tirelessly for many, many hours of the day just to sustain themselves and their children. So that's still the case, I think, in a lot of families today. We have two income families that are struggling to meet all the demands of life, food costs, housing, you know, vacation, all those kinds of things. And vacation may be a stretch. Not all of us have vacations. The other thing where this agenda goes seriously sideways, in my estimation, is that not all women want this. You know, not every woman wants to become a minor. Not every woman wants to be in the workforce and do the dirty jobs of a plumber. They do not want to be in that job to start out with. They're choosing jobs very deliberately. And as I see it in, you know, through university studies, they're going into a field that they're interested in, whether it's medicine. You know, in the ag sector, we have lots of students in there that are females. And but we don't see them in trade schools as much. We predominantly see men in there. And that is a choice. We live in Canada, one of the greatest countries in the world, as far as I can tell. And the fact that women shouldn't be allowed to make those decisions is preposterous. So why would we be forcing them into jobs that they don't want to have in the first place?
Yeah, that's a great point.
You are listening to an Acres of Truth podcast. Join us in the conversation over on Twitter. Our handle there is at Acres of Truth. Or to find more episodes, visit acresoftruth.com.
Yeah, I see women CEOs, same as I see their male counterparts. I see them leading corporations. And I saw this, not personally, but through history, after World War One or during World War One. The women entered in the workforce and they took on manufacturing jobs and doing manual labor. And this, without sounding too crazy here, is this basically doubled the workforce and gave employers the opportunity to pick and choose who was best suited for that job. And thereby actually lowering the minimum wage or the wage standard, because now you had, after the war, obviously, excess people in the workforce that weren't there before producing products. And they were producing fine products. Nobody's questioning that at all. The other issue that women will face, and less so by men, women of ages 28 to 32 are going to hit a brick wall. They will have to decide between family, career, and that crisis will not go away on its own. If a woman wants to have a family, which I would certainly encourage, I encourage everybody to have a family, there are going to be a list of priorities that need to be in place, because that clock is ticking. You cannot put it off indefinitely. Men, very different. Men can procreate right up until their dying breath. Women do not have that capability. So they do carry a burden that will have to be addressed at some point. But there again, I don't decide biology. We just choose how we're going to deal with it and accept it.
Well, and it's interesting. You raise a lot of good points. And so in this world that we're in and this agenda that they want to achieve these goals, they're not really recognizing the distinction between a man and a woman, which there are many. There are many, you know, traits within a man that are very different from traits within a woman. And we need to recognize that there's a difference between men and women. And we need to acknowledge that. And it needs to be recognized when you're developing something. Like, there's this enormous push to get women into the STEM academics. And maybe that's just not something that women want to get into. Maybe they've steered away from that because it's not within their wheelhouse. Maybe that's not what they're attracted to. Maybe it's something else. And so this idea that we need to have somebody create this cookie cutter policy for all women and men around the world, because we're all 100% equal, is ridiculous and insane a little bit. Because we're not. We're very much different. And women have, you know, a bunch of different strengths that supersede what men have. And men have certain strengths that, you know, maybe supersede what women have. And this idea that that women have to fall in and be equal to men, or men have to fall in and be equal to women, is just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on the burden that that Dave mentioned too. It is unbelievable the amount of enormous pressure that is put on us as women, who by nature, you know, we're the nurturers, right? We are the child bearers, and we are the nurturers. We are the women who are raising our children, until now all of a sudden all of this pressure is put on, you know, the two income family unit. You know, child goes to daycare within 6 months. You now all of a sudden you have somebody else raising your child, and now at this point, you know, the government we see is coming in and having a hand in that. And you know, there's, you know, now there's more taxes going to the government because where women are in the workplace, and the pressure between being a successful woman, but also at the same time trying to balance that with being a wonderful mother and raising your child. I've seen the balance shift towards the, you know, the side of being a successful woman. There's so much pressure being put on women to be successful, and then they're putting that pressure on themselves because that's what this ideology says. And who's suffering? Who's suffering? It's the children. It's the children that are suffering. And where's the confusion? There's so much confusion being created out of this. And that's what we see with all of, in some way, shape, or form, of all this gender ideology stuff. And this equality stuff is just creating more confusion. It's putting pressure on women that does not need to be there. If you are qualified for a job and you want to go and do that job, and somebody's going to, if I look at a resume, I want to look at and see what their qualifications are. And if they're qualified for that job, then I'm going to hire them, man or woman. So the emasculation of men is part of this too. This is affecting men. And like Dave said, I truly believe that this is an attack on white men. There's a lot of confusion that is being created in the family unit with children and in our white male community.
Yeah, well, there's an open attack on masculinity. I mean, they've labeled masculinity toxic. and so this continual barrage that men are facing and beaten down because, you know, we represent masculinity, or in their terminology, toxic masculinity, where, you know, it's pretty clear throughout history that that masculinity is a necessity for the human race. It's a requirement. In order for us to survive, we need masculinity, and masculinity should be cherished and should be revered. And just as femininity should be revered and cherished for whatever those roles that women have. And of course, like you said, nurturing and child rearing, you know, some would make the argument that men can have babies now. Well, there again is this confusion, this narrative created to do just that, confuse people. And it's all this attack on traditional family values, traditional roles. And you know, obviously a lot of it has to do with economy too. And we've talked about that in previous discussions, but the economy is of course related, and one of those crossover issues when it comes to, you know, family roles. And you know, there's a lot of, most people can't afford to have one income into the family. It's getting to the point where it's necessity really to have two incomes. And so a lot of this has to do with, you know, economic values. And I mean, at the end of the day, Canada should be absolutely booming economically. We shouldn't have a situation that forces both parents to leave the house and go to work. We actually should be in a position, because of our resources, because of our resource wealth, and I'm talking about food and energy and you name it. We're chock full in this country, and we should really have an economic system where we every family can prosper with a single income, and ensure that one or either of the parents, whoever it is, can stay home and raise the kids. But they're busting away at all of this because they want to destroy the middle class. And they're doing a phenomenal job of it through all of these, you know, policies that they're creating. So, you know, sooner or later, we're all going to have to stand up and say, okay, enough of this.
Of biology and how women process differently. Because women do put a higher priority on relationships, and they do put a much higher priority on families. And you think of the male role model, a young man graduated out of university, starting his first job, they are likely to put in 50 to 60 hours. And as they strive for promotion and strive for wage increment, climbing the corporate ladder, so to speak, they're going to be putting in 60 to 80 hours a week, every week, nonstop, because they stroke their ego at the water cooler, trying to up the guys, and women don't typically do this. And so think of this guy who's out of university by 5 or 7 years, he's putting in 60, 80 hours a week. He has been excelling at almost double the rate that the average woman would. And nor, like, I'm not saying he should, I'm saying that's a little bit crazy, but that's how some of these men, these high achieving men, they will wind up climbing the corporate ladder faster. They're worth more. And so for this whole SDG nonsense here, where they are trying to force these people and dumb it down, these high achievers, these are the high achievers that we should be looking for. If they want to go out there and work, have at it. And that there's no reason for the rest of us to just feel pushed down and out of the system because we're not achieving this. There are only a precious few that achieve it, and let them go do it. One size does not fit all.
Yeah, absolutely, Dave.
Well, and it speaks to the overall aversion to excellence. And we've talked about this in previous discussions, but it is this aversion to excellence where, you know, if a man decides that he wants to excel in whatever field he's in professionally, he's looked down upon and sort of, you know, pushed away from striving to achieve this level of excellence. And, you know, it's this aversion overall to excellence that, and again, it leads back to socialism, where everybody's supposed to be treated equal. Everyone's supposed to have the same. Everybody's equal across the board. And we'll get into SDG number 10 when they talk about this equality of nations and within and among. And just we'll get into a little bit more of that discussion at that point. But, you know, again, it's all about emasculating men and demonizing masculinity and even femininity. And it that's been demonized too in all of this. And
oh, you're darn right it has. Like, absolutely it has. And, you know, Hollywood plays a role in this too. We see some of these blockbuster movies that come out, you know, that portray women and girls who are saying these words about, you know, toxic masculinity. I can think of one, I'm not going to name it, but I am very certain that it was after that movie came out that the, you know, these buzzwords like toxic masculinity started really flowing out of the mouths of everyone. But for our listeners and for the women out there that are listening who have felt this pressure, because there's the pressure that's on the men who are being emasculated and are getting confused. And because there are points where they don't even know anymore how to even behave around women anymore, because women say this, but then they do that. And you know, part of that is the confusion, I believe, that's been created about all of that, that has been created through all of this. And if, you know, they've taken femininity and they've moved it and transitioned it into toxic femininity. If that's what's, if anything's toxic, it is that. And for the women that are listening, this is what I think, and this is what I have to say as a female myself, is don't fall into that trap that just because a man is masculine, that it's toxic. This is nature. And what I would strongly encourage women to understand themselves first, understand their makeup and their genetics and what makes them who they are, and embrace that.
Yeah, it's taken away from, you know, demoralizing the family again. So, you know, as men, we all, and women as well, we all understand that, you know, a career is very self-fulfilling. It's great, but we go out and we do our careers, you know, to bring it home to our family, which is the most fulfilling thing you can do, is raise a family. And so what they've done is they put women in the workforce and sort of demeaned staying at home and running the family home and raising the children, which is actually the most important thing I think any, you know, a couple can do. And because it creates a better society, but the government funds daycares now, so you can put your children in so they can start to indoctrinate them at a very early development age. And so it's demoralizing to the family structure. And, you know, women, you know, I see underneath this agenda are actually being attacked, not actually promoted. And that's the way I see it.
Careful, Trudeau's going to call us all misogynists here by the end of this.
Oh, I think he will. And so what? Yeah, he might actually learn a thing or two, because I think Sophie is trying to teach him something. He's just not listening very well.
Thank you for joining our Acres of Truth podcast. Dave, Richard, and I invite you to join in the conversation with us over on Twitter. Our handle there is @AcresOfTruth. Stay tuned as more episodes are dropping weekly.
And so I just want to tie into Richard's point a little bit. And again, we go back to biology, because at a certain point, you can't skew that unless you're taking lots of meds and drugs and stuff like that. Biology works. And one thing that's overly clear is women will marry up. They will marry men that provide more and are, you know, in some cases better looking as well. Like, there's a genetic component to that, which we won't dive into, but I'll stick with the money aspect. So women will enter into the workforce. They'll have a quality education. They're going to have their career. And as they make decisions to have a lifelong partner, which marriage is under attack under this, they don't want women to marry, but women will marry up. And so they're going to marry a suitor that is better able to support them and sustain that family unit. And so what they're finding is that these women are now having that family, and they're realizing their priorities have shifted a little bit, yet there's still lots of money coming in because they're married to a high value man. And so they're having to rethink everything. It's like, well, do I want to go back into the workforce, send my kids off to daycare? And there are some that do, and certainly that's what choice is all about. Go have at it. But there's a vast majority that aren't re-entering to the workforce until their children are much older. And there isn't the pressure to get that money because they're married to a man who's bringing home a good-sized paycheck. And so these women have no purpose to go work and create that paycheck. Whereas once all this is eroded, everybody is going to be forced to work because you're going to be working mediocre jobs. You aren't going to be able to look after your kids the way you normally would want to. And potentially you're going to wind up with a partner that you're stuck on a treadmill in this high divorce rate where the eligible men that are out there are not even really good quality men. So you're making sacrifices, and now you're on a whole different level where the government has control of the kids, they have control of you and your income, and now you're on this treadmill for the rest of your life where you have to figure out your own pension, you have to figure out everything on your own.
Everything governments do empower themselves, and I see it once again that promoting women to work in the workforce and not raise their children empowers the government, and you know, gives them like power over the children in daycare, like I was saying, and also gives them extra tax money for the wife working, and so that's why they do it, is it empowers themselves. They don't do things to help people. That's a fallacy all on its own.
So all of this goes against nature, right? Like, men are hardwired to have a family and support that family, you know, by bringing home the bacon, so to speak. And I know that's an old-fashioned term, but men are hardwired for this. And as we can see, and the data is there to support it, as more confusion is created for our boys, as they're labeled as toxically masculine, as they're, you know, labeled with all of these behavioral issues, we're seeing more and more suicides of young men. We're seeing more and more opioid usage and you know, these crutches that because boys are losing their sense of who they are. It's everything is going against nature. And when you do that, when you go against nature, the problems that you create by that are self-evident and extremely evident. And we're seeing this, the destruction of, you know, the boys and boys growing into men, and their role and their sense of self-esteem and their sense of self-worth. I've seen it. You know, I'm in a industry that is predominantly male, and I've seen it. I've seen guys come in and that they don't know their role in life anymore. They come in very confused because they're, you know, coming out of school, they're coming out of the indoctrination camps, and it's sad to see this. It really is, and I just see the fabric of, you know, what we've all built and what our ancestors built being destroyed by all of this, and it's a big issue. It's going to have a huge impact on things.
Women by design were created to work together. Part of a man's quality is basically to disconnect his feelings and, you know, primarily years ago, go out and kill for the food and not be emotional about it and bring it back to his family. And when he gets back to the house, it was his wife's, you know, job to basically connect those feelings again. Men don't actually have that quality, that then we don't have that nurturing quality that women do. That's why that balance is created. And,
well, I mean, it just goes back to nature versus nurture, right? And Mark, you brought up the going against nature, and we're seeing that on so many levels. So not only is there an attack on the nature of who we are as males and females, but on nature itself, and obviously we'll be talking about that in some of the SDGs coming up. But yeah, I mean, it's balance. It's yin and yang. It's, you know, there's, we were created this way for a reason. And I would strongly encourage anyone who's listening to this to go back to their partner. And there is one thing that I have always said, communication is key. And we have to be strong enough to understand and realize that these outside forces are not powerful enough to penetrate our marriages, our relationships with each other. Men and women need to communicate with one another. They need to understand one another. They need to understand themselves first before they can understand their partner, and realizing that no one is better than the other just because one person can make more money than the other person. We still have children we need to raise. We still have children we need to educate. And we're just going to let the government do that? I don't think so.
Well, and the other thing is you look at some of the young men and boys that are on hormone blockers or all these other types of drugs. Now you have started a perpetual cycle that will go for the rest of your life where you're dependent on the supply of drugs to maintain and regulate your hormones. It again speaks to the government. If they're willing to give them to you, you can have them. What if one day they decide not? Where are you going to wind up being when you've been dependent on these drugs for years or decades and suddenly they are not available or attainable based on what your social credit score may be or may not be? So that's where we are. But it's very concerning to say the least. I want to talk about 5.2 for a second, where it talks about trafficking and of women, sexual exploitation, those types of things. The one thing that keeps reoccurring in my mind is the Ghislaine Maxwell, the lists, those documents. Why are we not able to see them? Why is the government hiding those names and lists when she's behind bars for this crime, quote unquote? And how do they propose to change or fix this in the future going forward? If women are exploited, absolutely, I don't want to see it. I want to see accountability should that happen. But here we're seeing the exact opposite. There is no accountability except for one person being in prison.
If you look at some of these targets that are attached to these sustainable development goals, and Dave, this 5.2 target is, I wanted to bring that up too. It would seem that we're being gaslit here as in humanity in general. We already know who's at the top of these trafficking rings, and they're the same people that are putting out these SDGs. So yeah, there's a little bit of irony in this. And I think that if people can try to understand that, they might start to understand why and what is wrong with all of this and what's happening, and that we're being gaslit all the way through every single one of these SDGs.
100%. This whole thing is one project of gaslighting. This whole agenda is created to socially engineer the masses into something that they, the elite, want. And it's the elite that are responsible for some of the things that we're talking about here. And of course, never held accountable. I just saw a report that came out of the World Economic Forum where they're attempting to normalize pedophilia. And that's just, you know, normal age gap love. And normalizing this idea completely contradicts what they say they're trying to achieve, you know, through some of these SDGs and the targets. And it just flies in the face of everything they claim to be, when in actual fact, we see who they are and what they are. And there is no accountability for those types, for the quote unquote elite. And this is the system they are wanting to create, where they have the elite and they have the slaves and the serfs, and life is completely different for each one of those types. And this is exactly what all of this is about.
Standardizing again on this one broad brush statement. It's not about teaching people how to achieve their best. It's about making a standard. And when you make a standard, you end up with a bunch of robots that serve a system. And that's what they're looking for.
I'm just going to put one more thing out there, because 5.3 of these targets state they want to eliminate harmful practices such as female genital mutilation. So how does that even make sense with what they are encouraging women and men to do with their bodies right now with these gender changes?
And not to mention that it used to be considered Islamophobic to criticize people that mutilated their children for religious purposes. And now it seems that it's okay. Now we can criticize this mutilation. However, our schools are going to teach kids to self-mutilate themselves. It's all just so Hippocratic and contradictory. We've just exposed obviously some more that is rampant throughout all of these SDGs.
I'm getting a little amped up here, guys. I mean, these people are in direct contradiction with themselves all over the place. And for, you know, the average person can take a look at this. They see the colorful rainbowy colors, and if you look at some of the diagrams and the visuals that they use on the UN website and stuff like that, it looks all fun, and it looks kind, and it looks like something that we should be virtue signaling, and we know that that's the way of the world right now. You know, the virtue signal is the it's the ultimate for people. And you've got 5.3 here talking about eliminating harmful practices such as female genital mutilation. And you've got young teenage girls who are having breast augmentation done. And in 10 years, they are absolutely horrified and mortified that an adult actually let them do that.
But it's all propaganda, right? And if you look at, for example, North Korea, if you look at China, it's the same way to socially engineer and condition the masses through this propaganda that everything is beautiful, everything is fine. And you go through the UN website and all of the imagery that they use. Yes, of course, but it's propaganda. It's meant to trigger people, say, oh, look how nice this could be. We're going to reach utopia by going against nature. And this is, this is the narrative. This is how they do this and how they present it and how they sell it to people. And of course, there's a segment of the population that accepts that propaganda as real, even though it's against nature, it's against everything that biology suggests to us. And so it is what it is.
That's a wrap, folks. You've been listening to an Acres of Truth special edition podcast series. We would like to thank you so much for joining us in this journey. If you found this episode valuable, please share it with others on your social media platforms. Be sure to check out our website, acresoftruth.com, for more information on other podcasts and where you can find them. Additionally, feel free to send your questions or comments to info@acresoftruth.com. Thanks again for listening.